You that are new in the class, we are studying the dispensations. That is the different times that God and His dealings with man. Any of you would know that it is a different dealing that God has with us than He had with our father Adam. He was told to stay away from one individual thing, a tree of good and knowledge. And then it's evident that after that, God's dealing with men were different. Now, men are never saved any other way except through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is in that seed that would come and the serpent would bruise his heel. But then you know that you're dealing with God in this grace age is much, much different than how He dealt with Adam. In other words, you look at that chart, you see a different responsibility. It isn't that sin wasn't sin, lying wasn't lying. All these things never change. They're wrong. But then, your responsibility is according to your knowledge and revelation. We read this in the New Testament, that those that know a lot's going to be required. A lot's going to be required of you. It's just like if I had a son that I would send off to one of the higher educational places, and I had sacrificed to put that son in that higher education, and he would come home, he'd still be my son with straight ease. Would I be happy with that? No. So it is during this time. Now, the time of conscious, in other words, we were aware as a human what was evil and what was good, but man sins against his conscience directly. Sins against his conscience until it doesn't even bother him anymore. And then, instead of man, when he set up a government, wanting to obey in the government, they disobeyed right away and become idolaters. So then God dealt with one man, one race. This was Abraham. If you want to check, you will find out that Noah and Shem almost lived as long as Abraham. They were alive during his time. If you'll look at the ages there in the 12th, back to the 11th of Genesis. But they were a testimony as far as the history of what had happened. But they weren't the father of faith. Abraham was. And God teaches us these things. You think of Lot. As he said, when he looked at Sodom and or the Jordan, and that it reminded him of the Garden of God, or the story that he could still hear from his grandfather, Noah or Shem. Then he dealt, from then on the seed would come through one line. From then on he dealt with one nation. And there is no condition that is set down for God to carry out this promise that the seed would come through this line. He was, as we read, the seven different promises and how they differed, and how they were, the covenant was secured. Last week, the promises, the only thing that they were to do was to stay in the land, to not mix as they had during the time before Noah. This they did not do, and as your chart will show you, they were sold as slaves into Egypt. Now we come to a new time. As you can see, if you want to read Ezekiel 20 as we read it, you will see that time and time again through this, it says that they didn't obey God, they worshiped idols, but God, for one reason, didn't destroy them. It says because of His promise to Abraham, and because He would protect His name. We read all that, so we won't go back into that. Now in Exodus 3, you'll see that God, He tells, Exodus 3:13, He tells Moses there that He is, I am that I am. And here, meaning that He is all powerful, all His attributes that you and I know, meaning He is everything. And He tells the children of Israel, He said, when they ask me, what's your name, what shall I tell them? He says, he had in the bush said, I am. But He's, the I am that I am, you tell them. And of course, when He goes to Pharaoh, He doesn't tell Pharaoh this. I am that I am. When He says, what's His name? He says, well, He's the God of the Hebrews. Because spiritually, Pharaoh could have never understood, I am that I am. These groups, like the Jehovah Witnesses, like the Mormon, they argue over that name, I am. You corner them and you'll find out that they do not believe that He is the I am. And then going to 6, I'll go to the 6th chapter, where He reaffirms that this is strictly by grace, that the only reason that He is delivering the children of Israel, as we studied last week, they were as adulterers and idol worshippers as much as the Egyptians. And so here in the 6:2, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We read about the appearing, and in Acts 7, He appeared unto Abraham the first time as the mighty God, the true God. That is in contrast with the idols in his idol shop. And Isaac, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, was I not known unto them. Now, He was known as Jehovah unto them. If you'll check, that is what it means, Lord. It means that His name like that had never been revealed yet in power, that He was ready to demonstrate to them. In other words, the experiments of the performance of that name was now going to be demonstrated to them. The same as or the covenant relation. You have a covenant, but then you can enter into the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ with a relationship. The same as the bride will. You can experience or be called the name, but then one day you'll experience what the bride of Christ is. I hope that each and every one of you are wanting to be in this company or in the bride. But you're not experiencing that name right now, are you? It's when you are translated And when you begin to, as we see the four beasts setting the thing up and setting your wedding up as full-grown sons, that you will begin to experience that name and what it is. Well, that's what he's saying here. They didn't experience. No people have experienced what I'm going to do now. But see that this was what? Grace. Unconditional grace. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrims wherein they were strangers. And then he goes on to tell them, I've heard your groanings. Why did he hear their groanings? Because they were worshiping the idols and doing the same things as the Egyptians? No, because I remembered my covenant, my unconditional covenant with their father Abraham. And then he gives them more encouragement there, and then he brings them up to another seven there. I'm in the sixth verse. Six says, and he says, I will rid you out of your bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. He's going to show Pharaoh, when Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? He's going to show Pharaoh who the Lord is. And Pharaoh, like they say, he still didn't get it. Because after all the horrible, up to the nine and to the, then the tenth thing that God did to him, he finally decided when he chased Israel that he was the one that let him go. He said, why have I let him go? Why have we? He didn't let him go. The devil never lets you go. He has to let you go. And of course, at Calvary, he let go. It's over. But he said, and I will be a God, and ye will know that I am the Lord your God that bringeth you out under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning of which I did swear, and that is the only reason, to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give you an inheritance. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and cruel bondage, not for their sin. And that is how we are. We mainly cannot get our eyes open to the grace of God, and not to their sin, but to their bondage. And when the bondage was over, we read, when they were out in the wilderness, they said, oh, that we would have never left Egypt. The melons, all the onions and everything. See how quickly we forget the whip of the world and the devil and bondage. And now we will go to the 19th chapter. And up to this time, we've got a lot of history of the Bible and things. But from this point on, if you do not rightly divide the word of truth, from this point on, you will be in confusion the rest of your days in your pilgrim's way as to law and grace. The two in Romans cannot mix. Paul tells us in Romans, it's either grace or it's law. You cannot mix the two. You try to mix law and grace, you will destroy both of them for what they really mean. Because law and God's holiness, you can't lower the standard one bit. And people that are under law and tell you that they're living by the Sermon on the Mount, or they're living by the law, they are just trying to take the standard of the law, of God's holiness, down to their level. And it's amazing how far some will take that standard down. There are groups that do it different. Some of them will even take it so low that, as our pastor, he can tell you about the Assembly of God. When the Assembly of God first started, you had women had to cover themselves. They could wear no lipstick. Now their preachers on TV, like I heard one man say to this woman, when God translates you, He's going to leave everything here. Your false eyelashes. He said that right on TV. I heard him. He said, "Sister, when the Lord translates you, He'll leave everything here, won't He? See, they lowered the standards because a standard to the law never was. You had to completely fulfill all the law. James tells us that he that offendeth in one part is guilty of all. Romans tells us, and that was up to any man that had lived that long, and any man that might live forever. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. That's in His sight, not man's sight. They have different standards. But here, they are going to be put under the law. Israel, as a nation. Now you say, well, he had told Moses that he was going to send him in there, that he was going to bring him back to that mountain, and that he was going to give him the law. Yes, this is true. This was already God's plan. God's plan for man was to show you His holiness. And how could His dear Son have been born or under the law, made of a woman, unless we had have known what God's holiness and what God's righteousness was? We couldn't have. So of course, but the difference is what we will read here in 19:8. That is your difference, as your chart will show you there. Now, we will read from 19:3. The Passover, it was because of the Passover that the time had started. The new relationship, new beginning of days, and Moses went up. And it takes two parties to agree. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shall thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptian, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, pure grace, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me," notice, "above all people." Not that anybody couldn't, or all people don't belong to Him, but above all people, "for all the earth is mine." Now you notice He doesn't say if you do this you'll be saved because of the Passover. This shows that they were already protected by the blood. This shows fellowship, this "if." Therefore, if. A lot of people get this "if" really mixed up. And we have an "if we will suffer." And if you turn to 2 Timothy 2:11, you'll see three "ifs" there. The "ifs" there are, two of them are a complete fulfilled condition. It is a faithful saying, if we have believed on Him, we've died with Him. That is a fulfilled condition. Any one of you that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as your sin is, Galatians 2:20 tells us that you have died with Christ. You, as far as God sees you, He sees you in a new life. You have been resurrected with Christ. But then, there in Timothy, if you're reading it, it doesn't say you're, it's talking about if. It's talking about reigning there. If you suffer with Him, you're going to reign with Him. And then it says, if you even completely deny Him like Peter did and are unfaithful, He's still not going to deny Himself. But now He tells them, if you obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you'll be a special appointed people unto Me. The same as during your time, or a treasure unto Me above all people of the earth. And ye shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, Israel will finally do this. They were to be, as Hebrews tells us, he said, has God cast out Israel? No. He says, they still have the promises. This eternal promise is the eternal promise which was promised to Abraham in Genesis 15 through 19. Now, in Galatians, we read that it was superseded by the law, but not disannulled. It was put aside right here when God gives them the law. But they were to be, if they would, they would have been a kingdom of priests when they will finally go out to convert the nations. This is given to Israel, not to the Gentiles, as we'll find out later. And then it says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And here it is. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, they didn't say, you know, we'll try, or we hope, or if we can, and we'll try to do some of the things, Lord, but ever and all that you say, all of your holiness, we're a special people. And so it is with us when we first get saved. We believe, like the 7th chapter of Romans, when Paul wrestled with this, those eyes I do and that I can. O wretch, I found another law. We believe when we get to Christ's life that we can by our own strength just live that life. And we cannot. We have to yield to the Spirit. And that life can only grow in grace. Here they are, even the 380 that are chosen. And what a wonderful thing, and what that'll finally be for Israel. The 380 in 10 days, after all this will do, are at the bottom of this mountain, worshiping a golden calf, partying, drinking, adultery, 10 days. Do you see how weak you are to measure up to God's holiness? After they had seen all these miracles. See, unbelief Like in Jesus' time, they are always saying, show us one more miracle. Unbelief always wants one more miracle. If you're not going to yield to God, if you're not going to believe His Word, one more miracle isn't going to do you any good. You've got to believe what God has told you. Here they are, and now we'll notice what a change. Look at what a change. The ninth verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people, darkness all of a sudden. The legality and the law will never bring you light. It's only by grace that you can see this. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. Here, can you imagine coming down and all we'll do and all of a sudden all these rules? You ever lived in a house where there was no love, just rules? Huh? What kind of a place is this? And then they're to wash. And he said in the 12th, now there's bounds set. It's up to you now. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Hebrews 12:18 tells us that even Moses started quaking at this law. It got dark, lightnings, thunderings, like before the throne of Christ, when he will soon take his throne. A great storm's coming. A lot of judgment is coming. And then he says, even an innocent sin, which means the animals. He says, put a rope around this mountain right now. And he said, and don't let the people gaze. And he said, even if an animal touches that line, he's to be killed. In other words, just your foolish, innocent sin will be answered with death. Now you're under the law. Now it's up to you. God's holiness can't look upon sin in the least degree of allowance. He wouldn't contaminate himself with sin. He turned his back on his son that 3 hours that he became sin for you and I. He won't look upon it in the least degree of allowance. So now the people, this is called the fiery law in Deuteronomy 33:2. Our God is a consuming fire against evil. He strikes out his universe. He can't allow any evil in his universe. And we find out through the Bible that he will never, as far as evil in the old nature, change it with punishment. He will destroy it. He will lock it up. There's only one answer. That's the new life. Ye must be born again. Then Moses, if you'll read Hebrews 12:18, what a change. What a difference that these people are under. It's like two faces all of a sudden. Is this the same person? This is God's holiness and His righteousness. And, of course, you have this life in you. It's a wonderful thing. But now they are a separate people. And then Moses, just in the next chapter, he comes down with what is called the Ten Commandments, which is impossible It's possible only if you keep the first really commandment, or the royal commandment, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. You'll never have any trouble with the others. But notice how that the 20th chapter ends. As soon as he gives them all this, then he tells them about an altar. He sets up an altar and tells them, of course we went into that altar, what it would be made of and what it couldn't be made of. And there it must have been at the foot of that mount, because he knew, as same as Adam and Eve, that it wouldn't take but a few minutes and they would be breaking his law. All that, how many of you have said, when he's just, the Lord in mercy and grace has just cleaned you up, oh Lord, all you told me to do now, I'll do. Next day. And there are people that'll still tell you that you have to live by this law. Did you ever see one person that did? Have you ever asked one person to tell you that they are completely living by this? They'll tell you, well, I'm trying. That's maybe more than you're doing. It doesn't say try. You can't try. You got to do it. Or you face death. So, he sets up his altar. And notice how he said, don't you make steps on it. You know, the priest. Don't walk up on the altar. What does that speak of? They see underneath your skirt. The more you try with a law to get higher with God, the more you expose your shame. And so the law was given not that anybody would ever fulfill this law except the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was given to show you you can't keep the law. Now you tell people that, what? God gave us the law to show us that we cannot? That's exactly why he gave it to them. He knew that that's why he had that altar down there. That's why he had that seed to come. He had already said that your heart, your imagination was continually evil from the day you came out. That's what your imagination is. Unless it's sanctified. Now going, as you'll have your charts there, go to 2 Kings 17. And we'll read from the, I guess it does say 6 there, don't it? Yeah, 6. You can read 2 Chronicles 36 that gives you mainly Judah. They believe that Chronicles, of course, was written probably by the priests and this by the prophets. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in harbor for the river of Gozan and the city of the Medes. For so it was with the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord. You can read through this, and you'll notice in the 11th verse it says, the Lord carried them away and sold them as heathen, because why? They provoked the Lord. In verse 17, they provoked him to anger. In 16, they worshiped the host of heaven, or the zodiac, exactly at the Tower of Balaam. Of the tower in, when they built the Tower of Babel. All these things they did, and notice verse 14, it says they did not believe in the Lord. here, and if you'll read Exodus 23:20, Hebrews 3:16 through 20, to the, how they provoked and or believed, you'll find out that that was the angel that they were warned of not to provoke. And that's the very thing under the law they did was provoke. You read through that, you'll find out that it, there in Deuteronomy, God told them, if you do this, I'll put you out of the land. If you do this, I'll sell you as slaves. After the Roman Empire came in there, they sold them in Alexander, and they glutted the market, and they couldn't even sell them as slaves. And so it ends in that chapter. The law was not kept. And we'll, Lord willing, we might get into a little more of the law there. But so ended the law at Calvary. And we'll get into how it ended at that time. At this time, God forgot them and sold them as slaves.